This week on Middle Class Millionaire, we're picking back up on our conversation about retirement questions every generation should ask. We went through baby boomers a couple months back, I think. We also went through Generation X, and now we're going to be talking about millennials on this episode of Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi.
Becoming a millionaire isn't just about growing your money. It's also about protecting and preserving your wealth by using the right financial strategies for your situation. Welcome. This is Middle Class Millionaire with John Choi. John has his Master's of Science in Financial Services and is a certified financial planner and the president of Epiphany Capital.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. John and I here to pick up our conversation again on questions every generation should be asking, no matter what age you are. And those questions change a little bit, obviously, depending on how close you're getting to retirement. And this go around, John and I are going to talk about millennials. And of course, they keep bunking around with these numbers as to what the actual age is, but or what the birth years are. But John and I are going with some older numbers, which we think is a little more accurate, which is 1985 to around 2000. So folks that have been born in that age, 85 to 2000. So my daughter, for example, was born in 97. She's, 27 years old now, right? So at that age where you're maybe starting to get a little more, make a little more money, maybe starting to think a little bit more about putting some things away, stuff like that. So we're going to start having those conversations with John. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
Good. How are you? It's been a long time.
Yeah, man. It's not been that long. It's only been less than a month. So we usually do
it.
This.
It means I miss you. That's all.
That's all right. I miss you too. You doing all right? You having a good week?
Yeah, great week.
Good, man.
Finally.
So nice. Your kids are a little bit younger than mine, right? So I don't think you're there yet. But let's have a conversation a little bit, John, about some things to think about as you're, I guess maybe you're either possibly, if you're born 85 to 2000, you've probably been working for a little while. You could have just started. Let's say you're born in 2000, right? You'd only be 24 years old right now. But you're probably starting to, finally get out of that initial, first job kind of thing, right? You might even be on to your second or your third job or something like that. And so maybe you're starting to, have access to the 401s or whatever, just start putting a little bit of money away. So let's talk about some questions for this age group. And I think this is going to be the big one, obviously, especially the times that we're living in right now, the inflation times, everything that's going on. People are saying, how can I balance, everything I need to do, saving a little bit for my retirement? I mean, I know I've got like 40 years to go, but also trying to figure out how to pay for a house or even deal with my student loans.
Yeah. I mean, you got to do both at the same time. There's no magic formula.
Well, there isn't, but I do agree that, it's rough right now for these kids, man. I mean, housing prices just alone are out of freaking control.
I know, but I think because there's so much wealth, I think there's going to be a lot more inheritances, kids taking over parents' houses.
Possibly.
You've got a lot more families, I think, now that have second homes, third homes, things like that. When I was growing up, if you had a second home, you were like rich. And now right. It's like, if you don't have a second home, it's like you're a scrub. I feel like
I don't know. There's a lot of people out there probably like, man, I could barely afford my first home. I think I'm in that category.
I know, but yeah. I mean, I'm talking. It just seems more prevalent these days, but. With retirement, the first thing I think you should do is really you should come out of your paycheck. It shouldn't even hit your checking account. And then you got to do budgeting very, very well. So you got to, in the beginning, you got to watch stuff like a hawk. And people complain, it's like, oh, I don't have any money. And I'm like, you don't even have kids yet. You don't even know what real expenses are. So I don't know.
Well, it's definitely tough to figure out how to balance all that stuff, right? You're going to have, a budget, right? Nobody likes the B word, but you're going to have to budget a little bit, because maybe you are also, again, 85 to 2000. You might be, especially if you're born in 85, 87, 89, somewhere in there, you probably have kids at this point, or, maybe you were born in the early 90s and you're thinking about kids. Like I said, my daughter's 27. She's, at that point where, she should be thinking about kids. She's not. She's in the military, which is fine. That's her choice. But, you're probably going to have to figure out how to deal with that too.
Yeah. I mean, kids are expensive. Please budget for that. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know. It just works out. You can't really go too much into debt when you're having kids. I would just say watch your nickels and dimes is what it is. But
Well, when you're thinking about like starting to put stuff away, right? You know, we hear that we need to be putting, you know, you and I used to hear put 10% away to get ready for retirement. But this generation here is probably hearing put 15% away, right? So if you can't put that, you've got to at least go get the free money, right? You got, at least got to get the match.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I do agree with that. And I'll talk about that in a second. But Mark, the other thing is, you know, what I've noticed in this generation and in this demographic is people are getting married later and later, and they're having kids later. So it's not uncommon for, you know, couples to have children in their, you know, mid-30s. That's almost, you know, it's kind of accepted, where in my generation, it was like, hey, you know what? You're getting to be, you're pushing 30 now. You better pop out some kids, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of pressure there. And it was like, I think, and I don't know if they changed this, I think, and this might be laughable, but I think back in the day, they said that anybody that was pregnant that was over 35 was automatic high-risk pregnancy, like OBGYN.
That's funny. How times have changed, right?
That was when my wife was in medical school,
mm-hmm.
or maybe in her early years of practicing. I think that's what the age was, 35 years old, and you're automatically have to go to the high-risk OB.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Well, certainly something to think about, right? Especially from the cost standpoint.
So save while you can is my advice. And they are. And that's good. And people are, and these jobs, they're crazy. They pay so much money. Some of these jobs, it's like your starting salary is $180,000. That's nuts with all these high tech jobs out there. Have you seen these?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, and if you're in that boat, you know, consider yourself, you know, definitely lucky, right? Because there's certainly a lot of folks that are not making anywhere near that, right? So, and that gives you some options to do for sure.
Yeah, and then there's the plumbers, electricians, and HVAC people who make, I don't know, $300,000 now.
if you're your own company and you're showing up and doing that stuff, you certainly can, right? Tradespeople right now are certainly in high demand. Yeah. So that's certainly good. Well, you know, the medical field doesn't pay nearly what people think it does, right? You're talking about your wife.
I mean, oh God,
no. I've got a good friend who's who's a nurse, and I mean, she makes, you know, basically $70,000 a year, right? And she's, you know, single. She's like, it's tough. She's like, it's tough surviving on $70,000. I never thought I would have said that, right?
Yep.
You know, so with the cost of inflation and everything. So if you're in this age group, you know, one big question that starts to come up a lot is, what's Social Security going to look like for us? Like, you know, John, you and I are over 50. It may or may not even change for us, right? I don't think it will for people that are certainly 55 or older at this point in 2024. Who knows, right? It's all speculative. But certainly, I think for people under the age of 45 or definitely 40, the potential for Social Security looking vastly different for them when they're 65 or 70 could be there.
You know, for me, I'm not that worried. Most people think, oh, is Social Security going to be there? It's not going to be there and all that. They think it's just going away. I don't think it's ever going to go away.
But it's changing. It's
like, yeah, I think basically what's going to happen, and I think this is what should happen, is they should push the retirement age out a lot. It's not even a retirement fund. It was originally designed so that it was insurance against longevity. So to put it into perspective, you could file Social Security at 65 when it first came out. And the average lifespan around that time was like 62, 63.
Right.
So you weren't even expected to live as long as it took to get to Social Security. So that's like saying the earliest you can tap into Social Security right now is age 80.
Yeah, and right? we haven't
life
done anything with it.
78.
Right, and we haven't done anything with it in years. Well, look at what happened last summer in France, right? They pushed the pensionnaire program back from 62, I believe, to 65, and people just lost their mind, right? The young people did, right? People that would be in this demographic that we're talking about today got all upset. And it's like, well, you're 40 years away. Why are you upset now? You know, so it's like, okay, at least you have time to start working on some of those stuff. And so I agree with you. I mean, one of the ways they're going to have to change the funding is, you know, whether they remove early retirement at 62 and take it back to 65 and then take the 67 full retirement age back to 70. Who knows what they're going to do, right? But something is probably going to have to happen. And it's more than likely going to be along those lines.
Yeah, I, But there's other ways to claim Social Security. I think you gotta watch out for that. I mean,
yeah. So. Well, they're gonna have to make some changes. We'll see what happens. You know, should people be looking at different kinds of retirement alternatives? All right, we talked a little bit about the 401. You said you were gonna touch back in on it. You know, should you be at least getting the match, or should we be looking at some other alternatives out there, creating different ways to save for our future?
I'm of the school that you put in up to the match on your 401k, and then if you're a young person, let's say you're in your late 20s, like your daughter,
right?
If you're not in a high tax bracket, I wouldn't do a 401k. I mean, I up to the match, of course, I'd get all the free money,
absolutely.
But I would do either Roth 401ks or Roth IRAs, because, you know, why would you not pay tax at 12% so that later you can pay tax at 32, 35, whatever it's going to be in the future? That doesn't make sense to me. I'd rather pay tax now at the 12% rate, 10% rate, even the 22% rate,
mm-hmm.
and then have it tax-free for the rest of my life. So it doesn't make sense to me to do 401ks at this point. I might get a lot of hate on that, but yes, do get the match, get up to the match, but anything above and beyond that, look at Roth and Roth type of investments is what I would say.
And I was going to say, is there value in younger people looking at different alternatives out there, right? I mean, and what else is there? You know, is there a lot of other things that should be looking at? Obviously, you know, crypto, right? You can't, but that's just trying to, you know, be a crypto millionaire one day and broke the next, you know. But I mean, is there, you mentioned like to do a Roth, is it worth looking at, you know, insurance policies when you're younger, maybe doing some sort of, you know, cash value thing that you're just kind of building up that way? Well, and not to mention the fact that it's just going to be easier to get insurance coverage when you're younger anyway.
Yeah.
But is that worthwhile?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's two financial types of, how would I say, two investments, quote unquote, investments that you can make in the financial world that is going to be tax-free. It's your Roth type of accounts, either a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA, and cash value life insurance. That's it. The other good one, it's not in the financial one, is real estate. And I always tell people, look, the tax code in the United States, it really favors real estate and really favors cash value life insurance.
Okay.
I said, I don't care which one you do, but you got to do one. Ideally, you'll do both, but you should do at least one or the other. The tax code is just skewed so much toward these type of investors. They get such an advantage.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, anything else we should think about or mention before we go on this episode? I mean, again, I think if you're in that 85 to 2000 age group, right, you know, obviously if you're making good money, be smart with it, be proactive, try to make sure that you're, you know, balancing a little bit here and there. I think balance is probably going to be the key, but anything else you can think of?
It's tough sledding right now. I know it is. I've gone through it. If you're in the younger part of that generation or the later part of that generation, like your daughter, save. And if you are in the older part of that generation, so toward the 1985 era, I know that it's tough right now, but you got to keep on the path. Expenses are probably one of the highest that it's been. You've got kids, you got, you know, 2.8 kids, you got a minivan,
right,
you're saving for college. I know it's tough, but you just got to, you know, keep your head down, get a side job if you need to, is what I would say. But yeah, you just got to have disciplined savings and disciplined spending at that point.
All right. Well, there you go. Have some discipline out there. Definitely keep your head on a swivel and do the best you can and try to save for that retirement future, because it certainly will look different, I'm quite sure, for certainly, you know, folks my kids' age. So that's been Middle Class Millionaire this week for the podcast. Thanks for hanging out with John and I. If you need some help, reach out to him. Get on his calendar at johnchoy.net. That's johnchoy.net. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast Middle Class Millionaire on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube platforms. And we'll see you next time here on the podcast.
Thanks, folks.
Epiphany Capital is a registered investment advisor, RIA, located in the state of Illinois. Epiphany Capital provides investment advisory and related services for clients nationally. Epiphany Capital will maintain all applicable registration and licenses as required by various states in which Epiphany Capital conducts business, as applicable. Epiphany Capital renders individualized responses to persons in a particular state only after complying with all regulatory requirements or pursuant to an applicable state exemption or exclusion.